verse number 3, "And the devil said unto him, If thou shalt be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Jesus is saying there that if he turns the rock into bread, that'd be basically him relying on himself and not relying on God to give him bread. And then verse number 7, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all this be thine. And Jesus answered and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So he's saying there that only God should be worshipped and nobody else should be worshipped. And in verse number 9, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give the angels charge over thee to keep thee. And their hands that they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus is saying there that you shouldn't tempt him, and if Jesus would jump off the temple and then the angel would save him, that proved that he's God, and to all the Israelites, and if they did that, they wouldn't crucify him, and if they wouldn't be crucified, he couldn't save the sins of the world.
I'm going to start out with a couple jokes here, if that's fine with you. Alright. My first joke is, every time the doorbell rings, my dog runs and stands in the corner. He's a boxer. When the librarian bumped her head, she said, I have no one to blame but for shot. Alright. I'm in Proverbs 11 today. Proverbs 11, 28 through 31. Proverbs 11, 28 through 31. It says, He that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. But a fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall recompense the earth much more than the wicked in the sinner. That brings me to my first point. In 8, it says, The righteous shall flourish as a branch. My title for tonight's message is Flourish, How to Flourish in God. Verse 29 says, He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, but a fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. That brings me to my first point, have a wise heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:21, you don't have to turn there, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of his lips shall increase learning. It says that if we truly have a wise heart, or a wise and a prudent heart, we will increase in learning, and I believe not only in knowledge, but the Lord will give us an understanding of His Word. And if we have an understanding, then also look in number 23 of the same chapter. It says, The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adding learning to his lips. It says the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. If we have a wise heart, we will also teach others of our understanding. We must learn to share with them what the Lord has shown us in our daily walk with Him, so we can be a blessing and encouragement to others. Now, look back in Proverbs 11, and I'll look in verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Which brings me to my second point, win souls for the Lord. Matthew 22, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 22, 37-39 says, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now with the second commandment in mind, think of this. If we truly love our neighbor as ourselves, why aren't more of them getting saved? That same fear that got you saved should drive you to win your neighbor or co-worker to the Lord. Now look in verse number 31. 31 says, Behold, the righteous shall recompense in the earth much more than the wicked and the sinner. This brings me to my third point, seek righteousness. Proverbs says that the righteous shall recompense in the earth. Just in case you didn't know, the word recompense means reward. So if we truly have righteousness, the Lord will reward us not only in heaven, but in the earth. It says we'll recompense in the earth. In conclusion, if we would just put aside our wants and desires and seek Him, all these things would come naturally. But it's not hard to get these things. They are impossible without a walk with God. Well, we all go against these things, but it's not about what we've done. It's about how we react to our failure. That's all I got for you tonight. Before I leave, I want to take a moment to thank Mr. Connor and Pastor for allowing me to preach, and Brother Jeff for running the soundboard.
Oh boy, I think this microphone keeps getting taller. So, how are you folks doing tonight? Good. So, I'd like to start out in James 4. If you would turn around. Your thumb's ready. Places to turn. So, my message tonight is God hears your spirits and not your words. So, if you would bow our heads real quick. Lord, I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share what you've shown me through my reading, Lord. And thank you so much for our pastor and the stand he takes for your word, Lord. And I pray that you just please give us a good night tonight, Lord. Give me the words to say. Use this vessel for your glory tonight, Lord. I pray that someone in this building would be willing to hear tonight, Lord. And that this would mean something to someone, Lord, tonight. Gives good night. Number one starts. So God hears our spirits, not our words. So a lot of times, I felt this way a lot. I don't know if you guys have felt this way ever before, but you know, if you ever feel like God is just falling on deaf ear, or you need a if you ever wondered why God can't hear you during your hardest times, or most of the time it's because you don't have the right spirit. And God, I'll explain to you tonight, because it's a miss or a vain repetition. So most of the time when we pray, three questions that we always seem to ask God, and we always, like they were saying in James, when they're asking Jesus, what shall we do, what shall we do? And all the questions that we ask all the time, God, is, the why, and the why not right now, and why is this happening to me? Those are the three whys that we constantly repeat to God. And that's, as James 4 says, that's a missed prayer. So if you would look in verse 1 through 3, it says, For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even your lust of war and members, ye you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, and yet ye have not, because ye ask. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it unto your own lust. And I can find it in quotes. So it says, you receive not because you ask amiss. So when you pray and you think you need it, or you need to make sure you have the right spirit, because God does not listen to a bad spirit or a bad attitude, because he knows, as the verse says, to consume upon your own lust. So give me this because I want it, or I want this, you have to give this to me. And, you know, it sounds like a 2-year-old, you got the my do it, is what we say, you know, Lord, let me take control of this, let me, let me take over here, and, the most important thing, we need to remember to have a sweet spirit, because you need to remember who you're talking to, and that's one of the problems that I struggle with, and I know a lot of you guys also struggle with this. You know, we see a famous celebrity or whatever, and some washed up person, and we praise him. He'll sign a piece of your napkin or whatever you have on you. He'll sign your shirt, and then you bring that home and you put it in a plaque, and you'll tell everybody that you met this guy. You know, I seen so and so, or I seen my favorite football player. And when God speaks to you, then nothing ever happens. We don't tell anybody about it. To me, that's been a huge challenge that God showed me in that. And why don't you tell anybody about what God showed you? It seems like you don't care, because you don't care. And a lot of times you think, God, why are you not answering my prayers? It's because he knows what's inside you. He knows what your heart wants. And if your heart wants things of this world, then God is not going to answer your prayers unless you have a right spirit about it. It's the right spirit, because God does not listen to a bad attitude. So we maybe knows. So why? Because he knows that's what's important. Because you and he knows that your heart, because of your intention, are amiss. When you are serious, when you are serious, or when you're in trouble, that's when we really mean it. And that's a lot of times, every single Christian I know here struggles with, especially me. Whenever times get hard, Lord, I can't afford to pay this. I can't afford to do this. Now that's when we get serious. And that's when we say, God, I can't do this without you. And that's when we, oh, nothing else really matters except talking to God. And that's the biggest struggle that we have as Christians, and as, that's what the flesh does. But it's just crazy that when tragedy strikes, he's the first one we come to. We haven't talked to him in weeks, and then something bad happens in your life, and you cry for, oh Lord, please help me with this. And that's when we get saved, you know, that's when we get serious about it, and that's when he hears and when he listens. But we just need to learn to get serious about when he calls, and just, it's just a sign that we need to wake up when tragedy hits. Because all the times we ask God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Because Potter knows the play, and he's trying to put you into the plan. And every time, you know, something bad happens, we just want to give up and say, God, this is it. I can't go on any further. This is the end, or whatever. You know, that's when God can use you. That's when you're serious. And that's when God can actually work in your life, is when you let him have control of your life. because you're serious when you're in trouble. But when still, you know, we have, you know, moving on to the next subject says now, it's the why not now, and that's if you would turn the Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. Most of you should know this section, but it's God has a reason for everything. You just wait on it. He says, in everything there is a season and time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck. I'll pluck up that which of you is planted. So it's kind of a scary thought if you think about it, that God has planned out every single thing that's going to happen in your life and at the end of time. He's omnipresent, that everything that is going to happen has already happened. And it's crazy to me that God always gets the last pick from us. From when we ask our dad, our parents, you know, what should we do? You know, where do we go next? Then we'll ask our sister, our brother, our pastor, and then the last person we always go to is God. He always has the answer. Like I said, when we get serious, he always has the answer, and then he's always the last one we go to. It's crazy how, me especially, we think that way, though. And God is always gets last pick, and he's always the first one to help. So, there's a story I heard about a pastor, but he was previously a mechanic. So, and this is the same for why not now, but God knew that he wanted to call him to work in the ministry, but he didn't know where. He visited a church. Visited a church somewhere like southern Illinois, and he knew that God wanted him to be a mechanic for a church somewhere, and he was asking God where, and somebody mentioned that you should visit a church out of the blue, and a church that he had never been to, and they said they were looking for a mechanic for their buses and whatever, and he's like, oh, okay, well, that'd be, and he was still kind of unsure about it, though, and then an old lady had a 2001 Impala that came up to him after the service, and she's like, do you know any mechanics in this area? She said, my car has a blown motor, and he said he was kind of thinking, he's like, yeah, maybe I can come take a look at it or whatever, and he's asking God, is this your will, and so he went and looked at the car, and it ended up, well, they didn't know before, but they knew now that it had a blown motor, and he asked the lady, he's like, well, do you have any money? And she's like, no, I don't have much money or whatever. He never met this lady before, and the next day, a friend that he had before, he owned a towing business, and he said, well, we have this 2000, he's like, I got a 2001 Impala out in my back lot, and I was just wondering, has a blown trans, if you'd like to take the motor out of it and have it. And so the very next day, so that's what, but my point for that is, if you're willing, like he was, to go, and somebody mentions something to you, and you go and you ask God, and he leads you towards it, he'll make his plan very clear to you. And I know it's a little off subject with the car, but he asked God where to go. He showed him. And then the next day, God made his plan clear for his life. And that's what he will do for you every single time. And once again, I keep repeating this, but he's always the last one to get the pick, you know, always the last pick in your book, and he's the first one to help you out. So, and then God, if you would turn back to James number 4, God says in verse 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift up you. And God says in James 4, if you humble yourself, he will lift you up in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. Because people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's the low... And humble means low self-esteem or... lowering your importance. Low self-esteem of one importance. Because the only reason... you got up is because, I'm losing my voice here. We ought to be humble, especially when you know the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you something, to not try and push it off or, you know, put it aside. You need to be humble and waiting, low self-esteem, and putting others above first. Because, you know, the only reason you put other people down is because you want to try and make yourself look better. And that's that's probably the number one most killer in gospel churches is gossip. It's one of the most loose tongue. And spreading gossip, and you really do not know or understand how bad you can hurt someone just by saying the stupidest thing. Even though you know you did not have all the information, you still gossip about it, even though you knew that, well, that was not the correct story, and you really can. It's crazy just how many churches you hear, they argue over the color of the carpet, and then it just goes from there, and, you know, it wrecks marriages, and just anything you can think of. Just gossip is just the worst possible thing you could do about somebody. Like I said, you need to humble yourself, and just letting God guide your words, and don't say anything without asking the Holy Spirit first on what to say. Because like I mentioned, you know, one person hears it, you might have somebody new coming to church, and one word, they'll be gone forever, you'll never see them again. Their blood will be on your hands come judgment day because you said something about them. So I'm just encourage you to just have the Holy Spirit lead you on what you say. So... but remember this: God will put you through the same thing that you criticize other people for, and that's just the crazy thing to think about. God, everybody says, "Oh, it's karma or whatever." No, it's God's been keeping track of it the whole time. And everything you say about other people will happen to you. And that's why I just encourage you to keep to yourself. And if you have a problem, then take it up with God pretty much. Because he's the only one the first one you should go to, and the first one you should ever bring your problems to is always God. And so... just like Connor mentioned this morning, the devil will tempt you, and the most important thing is to ask God for help with a sweet spirit and a humble mind and willingness to his call. And he will answer as he said, you know, as a pretty much anywhere you are, he hears the voice crying in the wilderness, and he said about Paul, and he heard Elijah, and just in the crowd, he will always hear your prayer, no matter what you do, as long as you do it with a sweet spirit and a humble attitude. And just always be reading the Bible and listening and waiting for his call. So once again, just have a humble mind and willingness to his call and a sweet spirit, and he will always answer your prayer. Good night.
That was a blessing, wasn't it? It's way harder than you think. I don't know, wasn't it? I mean, once you're up here and get going, it's not too bad, but the whole build-up is just the worst, isn't it? Oh, but you guys all did a great job, so very proud of you guys tonight. Hope you guys were either taking notes or remembering what they were saying. We have a couple minutes. I could say what I was going to say tonight, but I guess why not? We got a couple minutes. Turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Solomon. Was it a happy Solomon or a sad Solomon? It was kind of a sad Solomon whenever he was writing. What is it? A sober Solomon, yes. He lived life now. And he was one of the wisest men alive, right? But did he heed to any of his own advice? He did not listen to any of his own advice. It's weird that if you think he's a smart man, he'd be like, if I don't listen to this, I'm going to be in trouble. But he obviously didn't listen. So I talked this morning about how God is very serious about keeping promises. Okay, I said earlier, is there any promise that God has not kept? If you look in the Bible, there's not a single promise that God has not kept. And if there is a promise that hasn't come to pass, it's something, of course, that, like Jesus' second coming, okay, that's a promise going to happen. Okay, you can look at that, no, didn't keep promise, but it's going to happen. Okay, and you look at his track record, he has a perfect track record, so that means that all the promises that are coming will be fulfilled. Okay, so look in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. This is Solomon, of course, in verse number 4. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou then that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Okay? Now, for some reason, I was thinking about this, and I didn't mention this, because of the New Year's resolution. I heard it today called the New Year's Revolution. I'm going to call it that from now on, my New Year's Revolution. But, okay, we always have these plans. We're always like, at the beginning of the year, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose every single year. At the beginning of the year, I want to lose about 50 pounds. It gets bigger each year. That's the weight I want to lose. Okay? And I say, I'm going to lose it, I'm just going to do it, because it usually ends up happening. That first 2 months, you're pretty fire. You're on fire. You're like, I'm losing 2 pounds. Awesome. Just 48 more to go. And then the next week, you're like, well, I gained a pound. That's okay. I still got a whole year to go. And you just keep gaining and gaining, and then you just keep doing it. Okay, but for some reason, that got me thinking about promises and how we make promises to God, but then we don't keep them. Okay, and here, Solomon was talking to his readers about making foolish promises. Now, again, in every culture, promises are a big deal, but especially in the Israelite culture, okay, they took promises very seriously. Now, you don't have to make a promise, but once you make a promise, then you're kind of a slave to that promise. Okay, you kind of had to do it. Okay, if you promised it, today you make a promise and you break it. If I promise you, I'd give you $2. Oh, I forgot. Everybody uses that good that happened. Okay, I owe people a lot of money. But, no, back in those days, it was extremely important that you kept your promises. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 23. Just real quick, Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. It says, in verse 21, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear it to vow, thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. That's pretty telling right there. Again, I don't know why I'm saying this, just because I find it in my life, whenever somebody preaches a really convicting message, and I'm really convicted about something, I'll come up to the altar, and I'll promise to God, that God, I promise I'm going to do this thing. Should I be doing that? Because I know it's kind of a weird thing to say, but am I most likely going to break that promise? I'm most likely going to break that promise. It's just like whenever we promise not to do a sin again. You guys ever promise not to sin? Do a particular sin? I sure have, a lot. And I've always been like, God, I'm not going to do the sin. But the very next day, if not the next hour, I end up breaking my promise to God. Okay? And I think that really breaks God's heart. Whenever we promise something to Him, and then we don't fulfill it. God says He's going to require it of us. Now, one more chapter, I think. Go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, and we'll be done. 20 and verse 25. Is that right? This is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make it hard. The wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his belly. Verse 25 is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. Proverbs points out that it is evil, how the evil of making a vow, and then re-thinking. God takes vows seriously and requires that they be carried out. Okay, we often have a lot of good intentions when we make a promise. We don't intend to break our promise, do we? Okay, not the majority of the time. I hope not, because if you're making a promise like that, that's really not good. But we don't intend to break our promises. But we often break our promises. So I just wanted to tell you to be careful on how you talk to God. You should never promise something that we're not able to keep. Like I said earlier, I think God very displeased with us when we do that, as it says He's going to require it of us. So when we pray, we need to pray, ask God to forgive us of our sins and help us not to do that sin again. I think God likes that a little bit better than making a promise and breaking it. So, alright, well, that is all I have tonight. I thank the young men and the young ladies for taking over this service. I got a lot out of your guys' messages, so I appreciate it. And ladies, I loved your guys' songs. Special Marley, so I thank you guys, and thank you guys all for coming and encouraging them. And again, we're have pizza. Did you guys order the pizza? Oh, it's gonna be late now. We got till midnight, I guess. Everybody's staying till midnight, right? Yeah, pretty much. Okay, I'm not. I'm probably going home soon after this. Soon after the pizza gets here, then I'm gonna eat and then I'm out of here. Okay, I'm gonna pull past. So we'll pray and we will be dismissed. You're